Listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, Jordan. Well, speaking of letting it fly, that's exactly what Gus Kattengill is doing right now. He is in the air flying, I think, with the Tulane women's basketball team. No, I don't know where the women's team is playing. We've got to find out because they play tomorrow, so he'll be able to do his show from location tomorrow from 12 to 3. And then Wednesday he's flying back. They're in the air at this time. They're landing probably sometimes within the 12 to 3 hour. So we'll help the Gus, the GCAT man there. Thanks to Gus for having and to Jerry and G-Square and to Jordan and to everybody for having you and I sit in and have some fun with this. And I want to thank Bernard Fernandez because I called him sort of last minute today and said, man, we can't have a show without having a former New Orleanian, De La Salle graduate, great sports writer, guy who covered the Philadelphia Eagles for many, many years at the Philadelphia Daily News and one of the all-time boxing sports writers. We'll call you again when we have another Pro Gray fight coming up down here. But for the meantime, just always great to hear my good buddy's comments on things up from Philadelphia. And want to remind everybody, if you're listening, now is the time to get online with us, 800-998-1003. It's an 800 number, 998-1003. If you'd like to join the conversation, if you have any questions for John, myself, or Bernard Fernandez from Philadelphia, or you can also, we had somebody and just lost them. They couldn't hang on long enough for us to get them on the air. Call back. And you can also tweet a question at ESPN Radio NOLA, at ESPN Radio NOLA, N-O-L-A. And Bernard, thank you for staying with us a little while longer to talk about this upcoming big football game tonight. We've been spending a little time with the New Orleans Saints and Philadelphia Eagles and the NFL playoffs. But my goodness, what a humongous game we have tonight to see if Nick Saban can surpass Bear Bryant with a seventh national championship, which would make him the leader in national championships in college football, and it'll happen out in California. And goodness, it's the last 4 years. It's outside of 1 year. It's been Alabama and Clemson playing for everything, including this year. So. John, we'll start off with you, and Bernard, want to get your comments, but as you look at this game tonight, just your overall comments on Clemson, Alabama, and then Bernard, I'd like you to follow up on the phones from Philadelphia, and then I'll tap into that.
Well, here's my take on tonight's football game. You get the two best teams in all of college football. I don't care how people want to talk about it, eight teams, four teams, 12 teams, or whatever. The number one and number two ranked teams, the two best teams in college football by far, are playing for the championship game tonight. My take is this, is that I wish the game was not being played on the West Coast. I heard tickets are going for $100 out there now. That's embarrassing. It's bad where they're playing at, outside of San Francisco, Santa Clara. It should never play in California or anywhere out there. The game should always be played closer to the Midwest, Southeast, everywhere. Sports fans would go, people on the West Coast don't really care about college football from a natural of watching this championship game. Now, this game is going to be one game that I look at, oh, my God, you got two solid quarterbacks. You got a young kid who's a freshman from Clemson who lit it up since he's been a starter. You got a sophomore from Alabama who came in second in the Heisman Trophy. I don't say they wash each other out. I think Tua's got a little bit of an edge on this game compared to Lawrence from Clemson. They both can throw the football. They're both going to do their thing out there. Defensively, man, that's a draw right now. They both got some injuries. Both got teams, got some suspensions. You got Nick Saban versus Sweeney, Dabo. I've still got to go to Nick. I'm leaning to the SEC, Bernard, because, one, I play in the SEC, and I still think we're the greatest conference of all, and I think the SEC wins this football game. But I got Alabama winning the game. By 10, could be 14.
So you're taking Alabama spotting
the points. I'm giving
it points.
5.5 points. That's
give
chump
that 5.5. Okay. Bernard Fernandez from Philadelphia.
Hey, first I want to correct you on one thing, Ken. You said former New Orleanian. I might have
never a farmer.
Southeastern Pennsylvania for 35 years, but I'm always going to be a New Orleanian. That's my hometown,
and
it's never left me. One thing, I know how LSU fans and Ole Miss fans, because both of my sons went to Ole Miss, feel about Nick Saban. You know, particularly LSU fans. You know, he left. He's a traitor. He's Bennett, Darnold, everything. He may be in the midst of the greatest career for a college coach ever, and I'm including John Wooden in basketball, because
yes.
It's a lot harder to win a national championship in college football than it is in basketball when John Wooden was winning, 10 to 12 years.
Agreed.
Because, you know, and a lot of people, you know, they talk about little Nicky Satan and the Red Devils, and, you know, they hate him. They hated Steve Spurrier because he won so much at Florida. You got to remember, LSU was not LSU until Nick Saban came there. I mean, they were in a down period.
Mm-hmm.
And he resurrected the program. We've seen it. Oklahoma wasn't always Oklahoma. Nebraska's not Nebraska now. Coaching means a lot. And he has established a dynasty there, unlike even something that Bear Bryant had. I don't even think Bear Bryant had a program that, you know, that is so incredibly consistent
dominant.
Yeah. as what they have at Alabama now. And the
okay.
thing about this team, apart from other teams, they've always had great defenses at Alabama with Saban. But this year they have an offense to match. The kid from Hawaii, and I can't pronounce his last name, but Tua.
Make it easy, Tua.
Just call him Tua. It's Tagovailoa, but it's Tua Tagovailoa. Just call him Tua.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the thing is, he is a precision passer. Like, it amazes me. It really does. I mean, you know, everything he throws is right there. He drops balls in tight windows. He can make all the throws. And they've got a great receiving core. You know, they still got a good run game. You know, what's the weakness? What is it? I understand people get, like my son says, that if Alabama was playing ISIS, he wouldn't be sure who it'd pull for. and I can understand that.
That's good. But, I like that one.
And it's probably going to be even worse for LSU fans if the two five-star kids from Amy, you know, wind up going to Alabama. But, you know, the thing is that you just got to marvel what this guy has put together. And it's just... And coaching counts, and even if the personnel were comparable, and I don't think so. I think Alabama, man-to-man, has got better talent. They've got Nick Saban on the sideline, and that's the difference. You know, that's always going to be the difference.
Well, I agree with everything you said. And what you said right at the top of your comments, we all know that Saban is a defensive genius and that he does some things defensively and makes things happen, but... Under Saban, this is probably the best offense Alabama has ever had, whether it's a Bear Bryant offense, whether it's a Nick Saban offense, and that goes back to a quarterback who's so cool under pressure. This kid is just unbelievable as a quarterback. Nothing seems to bother him. You would have thought as a freshman he could not have done what he did. Five receivers who average 17-plus yards a catch, so they either get great yak yards or they go vertical when they have to, because Tua can, as you said just a moment ago, thread the needle and get it to the players. You know, a group of running backs who are all going to be playing on Sunday next year. And again, just the fact that you've got Nick Saban, there's just an air of confidence with him that's so very special that it's so hard, whether it's Clemson or not, it's just so hard to pick against him in this game.
Well, here's my take. And why would it you brought up John Wooden when he won, 10 to 12 in a row. Just think if Nick Saban would have gone out there 10 years ago and started recruiting a quarterback. He was just, oh, we're going to win by defense, and we'll get through with it by having an average Joe Blow at quarterback, and we'll beat people up and run them to death. He somehow, 2 years ago, Deshaun Watson lit his eyes up about, I got to get a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
So whoever went in and recruited Tua in Hawaii, that guy needs to be having more praise, I think, than Nick Saban. Saban can have all his defense all he wants, but just think if Nick Saban 10 years ago to say, you know what, we need to open up my offense. I got a great defense. We're going to stop people. But if I had an offense like Clemson had, well, if you could take Clemson's offensive mind over the last few years and put that with Nick Saban's defense, you would see 10 straight championships by Alabama. My hat has to go off to these guys that recruit. Now, he brings coaches in here. He'll bring the ones who get in trouble. They come in there just to be a consultant. And these guys are recruiting, evaluating talent. And that's the difference between knowing that I'm at Ole Miss and we cannot have 6, 7, 8 guys who they hire as whoever they want to hire and just give them a job making $20,000 for the season. But you help my program out who are former, you know, high-ranking coaches. You go to Alabama and you're like 12th coach on a list and you've been a head coach for 4 years and you got in trouble. So you come over here and you just get a little $20,000 for a month maybe, or I mean for the year. And I look at it, but just think.
But I love the titles too, like Red Zone Consultant, Red Zone Offense, Third Down Red Zone Offense Consultant.
But just think if Nick Saban, but no, you know what I'm saying. Yeah. Nick Saban would have decided 10 years ago to open up his offense. Man, he would be killing people and you think they'd be hating him now. Just think for the last 10 years what they'd be doing.
Well, like I said, you know, the thing is a lot of LSU people and actually fans for all Southeastern Conference teams, but particularly LSU people because he left LSU. If he had come back from the NFL, from the Dolphins, and gone, you know, to the Big Ten, back to the Big Ten, or to the Pac-12, ACC, whatever, you know, but he came back to Alabama, and after so many years of Bear Bryant doing it to us, it was like the ultimate, you know, betrayal. But look, I'm not really sure that Les Miles has the success that he does, or you know that LSU get back to being LSU again. That, you know, after Nick Saban came. So the thing is that for all you people that are hating on the guy, you ought to give him some credit too, because he kickstarted LSU's revival to being LSU again.
Remember this: he didn't leave LSU because he wanted to go to another college program. He left LSU because he won a national championship and he wanted to win a Super Bowl. He wanted a Super Bowl ring, and he went to Miami thinking he could get it there. And you know what? He was within a doctor's call. A doctor's call of getting Drew Brees and winning that Super Bowl ring, and he would have had a national championship, just one, and a Super Bowl ring, just one.
You can say all you want, ifs, skips, and boats and stuff, but there's no guarantee that if Drew Brees would have went to Miami, they would have won and had championships or whatever, Super Bowls. I mean, you can't look and see what he would have done in Miami. But let's take it back what you said. When he left Miami and he got back into college coaching, the ACC, Big Ten, and those guys, they wasn't throwing the money at him with Alabama through. Remember, he first came back, he was probably the first guy to make that $6 million before he's making whatever he's making, or $5 million when he came back, or whatever. They wasn't giving those type of dollars to coaches in college football until Nick Saban, you know, I'll come back, but it's going to be in a powerhouse in SEC, and he knew with Alabama, the history there, and then they coughed up the money. And now, you know, he's making a fortune now, but he would have never gone to an ACC or Big Ten.
Before we take a break, he would have gone and was very close to going to the University of Texas.
Oh, yeah, and, $10 million.
Well, the interest was not only the money. The interest was that, and no one will ever be able to prove this, but the interest was that if you come win, give us 3 or 4 national championships, and we'll give you the one part of your dream that has escaped you in Miami. We'll give you an NFL team where you can go out and get that Super Bowl ring. If that could have unfolded. But, hey, we're not going to get into it.
If
Mac Brown.
If was a fifth, yeah, it all be well,
but let me tell you, there was a lot playing on the mind there. We're going to take a break. And, Bernard, can you stay with us for another 15, 20 minutes or so?
You can, absolutely.
All right, thank you.
I love it. And maybe just a tiny bit longer than that. We're going to take a break. And Ken Berthelot sitting in for the Gus Cattingale with John Forcade and sports writer, Philadelphia sports writer Bernard Fernandez. Back in a moment.
Every favorite has been reborn. The Caddyshack Bar and Grill is now Vinny's Caddyshack. Come check out the newly renovated bar, revamped liquor selection, and be sure to grab one of our specialty cocktails. If you are looking for a great lunch or want to unwind after a long day at the office, then look no further than Vinny's. Join us for the best happy hour in town. And we're open until 5 a.m. every night. Come see the all-new Vinny's at 3217 Ridgelake Drive in Metairie.
This is a public service announcement from the Lafourche Parish Water District Number 1. After samples analyzed by the Louisiana Department of Health, it's indicated that Lafourche Parish Water District's boil water advisory has been lifted for all communities in Lafourche Parish. Once again, Lafourche Parish Water District's boil water advisory can be lifted on all communities in Lafourche Parish. That's from Dirk Barrios, General Manager of Lafourche Parish Water District Number 1. All boil water advisories has been lifted for all communities in Lafourche Parish.
Oh yeah, for over 65 years, Golden Motors has been your local Chevy Buick new car dealer. I'm sure you've seen us around supporting our local schools, charities, and organizations. That's just our way to say thanks to all of you for being there for us at Golden Motors. Looking for a new Chevy or Buick? Or looking for that new or pre-owned any make and model? Give us a call at 325-1000 or visit us on the World Wide Web at goldenmotors.com. Golden Motors, Chevy, find new roads.
Hang on tight. Southern Trailer Works presents the Cancer Center at Thibodaux Regional 8 Seconds to Glory Premier Bowl Tour. Saturday, January 12th, 8 p.m. Home of Terrebonne Civic Center. All kids tickets only $6. Get your tickets now for this Cancer Center of Thibodaux Regional Early Detection Saves Lives event at Ticketmaster.com or box office. Brought to you by Neal Small Engines, Hooters, St. Martin and Pork, and Terrebonne Ford. January 12th, 8 p.m.
The wildest show on Louisiana dirt.
Home of Terrebonne Civic Center.
You Bet Your Boots footwear store has been in business since 1979. Looking to gift boots this holiday season? Their best sellers are the Irish Setter, Two Harbors, and Marshall series. You Bet Your Boots also carries Red Wing, Irish Setter, Works, and Dan Post. Do you have foot, knee, or back pain? Try their corrective insoles and footwear by Spenco, focusing mainly on the working man. They can also accommodate a casual fit in their Dan Post line. So shop until you drop at Bet Your Boots on Bayou Gardens Boulevard for discounts between 15 and 20%.
Adventure, intrigue, mystery, romance.
It's a storm of entertainment that brings down the house.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
Ben Berthelot sitting in for Gus Kattengill, who's traveling with Tulane Women's Basketball. Gus will be back tomorrow. John Forkay joining me in studio. And Bernard Fernandez, Philadelphia, retired Philadelphia sports writer, is also on the lines with us by phone. And, boy, what a great time to have that with the Philadelphia Eagles coming down to play the New Orleans Saints. They're going to try to beat the dome field advantage. And Bernard, I got, of course, John Forcade with us here. One of the things we were talking about in the break just now is maybe getting your comments on what are people saying in Philadelphia? What's the press saying now? What's the fans saying now? What's the TV, the radio sportscasters saying now about this repeat game as the Eagles get set to come down to play the Saints?
Well, all it takes is one game to find out, either way. But there are people that are starting to want to believe. I don't know if they actually do believe, but they want to believe that there is some sort of postseason magic in Nick Foles, and that he can dip down and wring the rag and squeeze out a few more drops of that. I don't think it's going to happen. They were quite fortunate, even to make the playoffs. Obviously, in the last day of the season, the Bears did not, sit all their starters. They beat the Vikings. The Eagles won, got into the playoffs, slipped in the back door. I think probably they have ridden the train as far as they can, and it ends in the dome this weekend. It's like most NFL cities. They got the Sixers, they got the Phillies, they've got the Flyers, they've got all the pro teams here in town. But Eagles are number one. And as long as the Eagles are got a breath of life in them, people are going to want to believe. And totally gets taken away from them. And I think Mr. Breeze is going to be the Grinch that stole New Year's.
Well, yeah, it's hard. You know, maybe stole Christmas if Nick Foles is being labeled Saint Nick. You know, I saw some of the signs on TV. Hey, we believe in Saint Nick, which was, I think, really good stuff.
Well, one thing he's got in common, you know, he's obviously taller than Drew Brees, but he's a good guy, you know, and you like to see good things happen to good guys, you know, and he carries himself with class, he carries himself with dignity, he doesn't embarrass the franchise or himself, you know, he's not a diva, and you like to see good things happen to good people, and he's a good person, and whatever happens beyond this season, like to see him, you know, get some benefit from that.
Look, John knows this, too. The two teams played last time. They know what each other can do. They're going to have something different, do some different looks, do something else. At least Foles brings in a different look, maybe something different that the Saints prepare for. Not that they haven't seen it before, not that they're not going to be ready for it, but something's got to change from the Eagles' standpoint. And, again, the Saints have to come in not affected by that. They're going to come in like they're game-ready, like they are a well-rested team ready to play. And you and I have been sports writers, and John's been in sports long enough to know teams can come off of a week layoff, which was really a two-week layoff for the Saints, and come out of this two ways. They can come out like a well-rested team, clicking on all cylinders, ready to go, that, man, they needed the rest, and it helped them, and they look like just a powerhouse. Or they can come out of this thing flat, and they're not ready to play, and that's what you've got to keep your fingers crossed and hope for, that the Saints don't come out of this long layover. Most, you know, one of the teams that I don't think I've ever seen come out of a week off or a bye week, not ready to play, and Bill Belichick maybe has the formula on this, is the New England Patriots. They seem to always come off. Watch them this week. Just watch them this week. They usually always come off these bye weeks supercharged, ready to play. And this is just something I'm hoping for this Saints team. They come out of this, and I don't know if there's any way to look at a team, and whether you watch practice or not, you just can't tell whether they're going to come out ready Sunday in the Dome, Sunday at the late game, Sunday afternoon in the Dome or not.
Well, that's a little bit that what scares me is the fact, with Kenny, what you brought up, the fact that you get 2 weeks of layoff for some of these players. Now, some guys played a week ago. Your reserves, some of your starters played. But you guys like Drew Brees could take a month off. I don't think that's going to affect him.
Right.
You know, Alvin Kamara missing two weeks. That's nothing. So, you know, you got to remember, in the NFL, you don't have 88 players. You only get 46 to dress out and play those games. So the guys have got to play. I think they could be a little rusty early, but that's not going to be that big of a deal for New Orleans Saints. I really feel the pressure is all over Philadelphia, the fact that you could toot this horn with Nick Foles, Saint Nick, all you want. My take is the fact that he didn't light it up the last 3 weeks of the season. He helped them win the football games. Remember now, they went to a Washington team that played against a Washington team that pretty much quit. They were on their fourth quarterback. Houston came into Philadelphia. Yes, they beat the Houston team, but it was close enough that they were really losing that football game. They could have lost that game. They had to go, granted, to L.A. and beat the Rams team, who I think isn't as good as everybody thinks the Rams are. They'll be competitive, I think, in the playoffs, but during the season, I think the Rams are so-so. But Philadelphia's a good football club. They got players, but as you break down positions, that's why I was getting to the D-line, the linebacker, secondary, no running game. They got really good receivers. They got a good tight end. Their line's struggling a little bit. A lot of guys are beat up, hurt. The quarterback is Nick Foles. The running game's not there. D-line, you got a couple guys up at age, played well there. Cox is a beast. Linebacking core is okay. Secondary is their weak problem. So with that being said, I think if the Saints come out and just do what they know what they're capable of doing, and don't get into the situation where, okay, we'll play defense. No. Go out there and score every time you get the ball. Someone made a comment to me, Bernard, you can comment on this. They talk about the Bears. The Bears had the ball, I think, 9 times yesterday and come away with 16 points. I'm not counting the last time. Okay, it's 10 times I had possessions, I believe it was. And they had 15 points, if I'm not mistaken, it's 15. So you get the ball 9 times and you only get 15 points? 9 times to score with the opportunity? If you say you score 4 times out of the 9, let's say 3 of those are touchdowns, that's 21 points. So Saints give the ball 9 times. You better score four times for sure touchdowns. That's 28. And a couple of field goals, you know, you get a 31, 35-point range. That's where I think the Saints take care of business this weekend.
As long as they make the plays. You can't have drop balls. You can't beat yourself. Games like this usually or many times, not usually, but many times are lost, not won. And the Saints just cannot afford to. I mean, you guys have to catch the ball. And backs can't fumble the ball. And if you don't give up easy touchdowns, then and you've got an offense that can score. And you're right. Look, Bears were the best defense in the league. And you've got a
them
very,
and the Ravens.
But you've got a very good Saints defense that, while maybe isn't the Bears, I think can put on that type of show with the dome field advantage in their favor. So the offense has to – the defense has to do what they do. The offense has to help a little bit. And then I think some real good things can happen. We got Bernard Fernandez, retired sports writer up in Philadelphia, and again follows the Eagles very closely. If you'd like to get on the phones with him and John Forcade here with us in the studio, or you'd like to tweet 800-998-1003, 800-998-1003. Hey, man, like Joey says, what did Joey say that he wanted everybody to call him up and prove him wrong on? Yeah, I forgot, but...
It ain't the Cleveland Browns.
No, it wasn't the Cleveland Browns, David.
I'm picking Clemson in an
upset.
Oh,
you were picking Clemson. Yeah, that's
right. Joey's picking Clemson.
Joey's picking
Clemson. Right there,
there you go.
Right there, I'm taking the Alabama Crimson Tide because Joey's taking Clemson.
Yep.
You know, Joey.
Hey, can I throw one thing out of you guys?
Please do.
By the way, at ESPN Radio NOLA, if you'd like to tweet a question, at ESPN Radio NOLA, N-O-L-A. Go ahead, Bernard.
You know, I think the main beneficiary, if you can single it to one guy, the fact that they rested people in the last week of the season and then had the bye week. What is one of the positions that is now like a big ticket item in the NFL? It's the blindside protector. It's the left tackle. Terron Armstrong Armstead has kind of been beat up at times during the season. Still going to the Pro Bowl, but you know, I think this time off is going to help him. I mean, even if you look at the Eagles, and Jason Peters is probably getting near the end of the line, but, I mean, he's been a mainstay at that position, you know, for years for the Eagles, and they're going to have to, you know, at some point replace him, and it won't be easy. You know, if you've got a dominant left tackle, you know, it makes life so much easier for your quarterback. You know, it facilitates the run game. And if Terron Armstead comes back healthy, if he's at the top of his game and has benefited from, you know, this time off, then I think that goes a long way to making the Saints' job of advancing easier.
No, Bernardo, I totally agree with all that, except this fact. First of all, Armstead, in my book, is not an All-Pro this year. When you miss that amount of games, it's all repetition. I mean, all reputation of your buddies voting for you. That's BS, because let me tell you right now, he hasn't played well when he's been back. He's missed so many games. You know, Pete had to step out there. If he can stay healthy, that helps the New Orleans Saints, there's no doubt. Now, look, I saw the game yesterday. Khalil Mack didn't get nothing on Peters. Peters held his own one-on-one, played extremely well for a guy who's getting up there, who's been around for a while. That's going to be the case this weekend. But Drew is a little different quarterback than I think Nick Foles is. You know, Drew will get rid of the ball a lot quicker. Foles kind of hangs on to it a little bit more. I definitely agree that offensive line for the New Orleans Saints has played extremely well all year long, and then toward the end of the season, you saw a couple of guys get hurt. You know, Unger got hurt a little bit. He had a slight concussion. The right guard got hurt. What was it? Wolfhard? He got hurt. On and on and on. Pete got hurt last week or 2 weeks ago with his hand. When you got a healthy offensive line, that makes the Saints' running game much better. And passing attack even better.
Well-balanced running passing attack by the New Orleans Saints. And, again, the protection. You've got fresh legs with Kamara and Ingram. And, man, I'm going to tell you what. It's if you know, considering Drew Brees' age, if you want to take in the something other than the X's and O's, just the overall hungriness of a team, I think this Saints team also realizes – if we're going to get another ring, if Brees is going to get another ring, and we who were not with him want to get a ring, we've got maybe this year, and if we're lucky, next year to get the ring. So it's a hungry team from that standpoint, and I think people overlook that that factor for the New Orleans Saints. They realize it's got to happen. So you got to go out and play every day, every play. You got to make something happen because one mess up, and as what happened last year, one mess up and boom.
Here's a guy, Bernard. Maybe you can chime in on this one. Nobody's talked about this guy who's missed quite a bit of playing time for New Orleans Saints, who is going to be back. You know, he played a couple of weeks ago. Be back full strength. Ted Ginn Jr.
Oh yeah,
we don't have the running game. Well, I mean, we don't have the passing receivers. We got one. It's Michael Thomas. We don't have the great tight ends. We don't have anybody else other than Michael Thomas and throwing the ball to Kamara out of the backfield. Boy, if you can get Ted Ginn Jr. at 100% playing, what I know he's capable of playing, that adds so much more. You could double team Michael Thomas all you want, but Ted Ginn's going to get his balls thrown his way.
Bernard?
Yeah, I mean, the thing is that they were trying, you know, to see, find somebody that could fill that slot that could take the top off the defense, you know, for, you know, sign guys, you know, got hurt, you know, didn't work out, whatever, you know, but he gives them the deep ball, you know, and hopefully he's back at full speed. I mean, obviously he hasn't played, you know, but if he's healthy, if he's in game shape, you know, he's a factor.
Right, let me ask you guys this. If you are the Philadelphia Eagles defense, based on everything we've just said, Drew Brees' ability to read, his ability to release the ball, get the ball out quickly, and you want to come into the Dome on Sunday and win this game, what do you have to do differently? What do you have to do that might give you an edge and give you a chance from a defensive standpoint? John, I'll start with you on this. And
here's the defensive what I think Philadelphia needs to do. Do you want to get beat by the run for the New Orleans Saints, or do you want to let Drew Brees beat you throwing the football in the air? You better stop Drew Brees, and you better do whatever it takes to stop Drew Brees, because he cannot come in this football game and you can say, oh, we'll give him this 300-something yards a game, you know, three touchdowns. Well, that's 21 points. You're already in the hole there. You don't mind getting beat with the running attack because it keeps the ball out of Drew throwing the football. He's more dangerous throwing the football than he is handing off to Kamara or Ingram. You can slow the game down by having them run the football a little bit more, taking away the passing attack. But with all that being said, you know Drew Brees is going to throw that short passing game with Kamara out the backfield, sort of like a running game. And that's the difference. So you got to give up one of two things. Do I want to give up the running game, let them run for 150, 60, 70 yards, or do I want to let Drew Brees throw for over 300 yards? You better stop Drew Brees.
Especially with Ginn coming back. Before that, I'd say maybe put it in the hands of your defensive backs. But, hey, these defensive backs have played very well for Philadelphia. I know it's not the starters, and, hey, they've had to go back and develop some defensive backs to come in for injuries, but I agree with you. I think you get to say, beat us with your running game. We're going to trust our defense. Bernard, your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mentioned this earlier. I mean, the thing is that last year, and obviously, you know, they didn't have Wentz down the stretch and in the playoffs. But Wentz, you know, when he's there, he's the guy that can do some run-pass option, you know, as a running threat. Gain a fair amount of yards, you know, when on design plays. Maybe they're not going to want to do that going forward, you know, since he's had, you know, two leg injuries. But they had LeGarrette Blount, they had Jay Ajayi. They were able to pound the ball between the tackles and control clock, which is what you need to do to beat the New Orleans Saints. They don't have that. I mean, you know, they are not winning time of possession battles. So they have to win with their passing game. And obviously, you know, you can say what you want about Nick Foles, but he's made the plays when he's needed to make them, you know, during this stretch and last year. But if it's a lopsided time of possession thing, if Kamara and Ingram, you know, are given the Saints that kind of run-pass balance, if they're controlling the clock, you know, I think it's, you know, it's good night, you know, and the Eagles are out. Last year they had a chance in every game, you know, to win the battle of time of possession, and that's not the case this year.
And I think that the Saints are going to use time of possession, and that was my other question, or actually my other answer on one of the best defensive strategies for Philadelphia would actually come from the offense, and that is to win the time of possession, long sustained drives that end up with points.
And we know the kicking game is going to be pretty much evened out. Elliott and Lutz, they both excellent kickers, so I don't see any problems there. Both punters are pretty good punters, so the special teams pretty much even itself out.
Mistakes, mistakes, mistakes. You can't make them. The team that makes the most probably lose the game, and that's an overstatement. Bernard, I want to thank you. We've held you much, much too long and did this very last minute, but I appreciate you spending time with us. And we're going to do it again. We'll call you again, have you on as a guest. Thank you so, so much for spending time with us today with John and I. And you're the guy. Bernard Fernandez, retired sports writer, Philadelphia, and great comments, great insight on the Eagles, and we appreciate you very much.
Thanks, Bernard. Appreciate it, my friend.
All righty. We're going to take a break. You hear the music in the background. John and I will be back in just a moment to take you to the top of the hour. Ken Berthelot sitting in for Gus Kattengill. Give us a call, 1-800-998-1003, 998-1003. Tweet us a question at ESPN Radio NOLA. Back in a moment.
Imagining a better bank starts with looking at the savings rates most banks offer and saying, really? Capital One is building something better. You can open a Capital One savings account with one of the nation's best savings rates from anywhere, like here,
or here,
or here.
One of the nation's best savings rates. Opened online, at a Capital One location, or from anywhere. That's banking reimagined. What's in your wallet?
For consumers only. Offered by Capital One N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2018 Capital One.
Lady of the Sea After Hours Clinic has moved to the new Lady of the Sea Cutoff Clinic, located directly in front of the hospital off of Highway 1 in Galliano. The same After Hours staff will continue to see patients from 5 to 9 p.m. weekdays and 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. on weekends with no appointment necessary. Now the convenience of a walk-in clinic with a pharmacy at the same location is available for our community. Same provider in a new environment. Lady of the Sea After Hours Clinic, here when you need us.
Social Security is with you through life's journey from birth to retirement. As your life changes year to year, so do your needs. For over 80 years, Social Security has helped to meet your needs and is committed to improving access to the services that make a difference in your life. Today, you can verify your earnings, estimate your future benefits, apply for retirement, manage your benefits, and even change your address. All from the comfort of your home. Social Security's online services help put you in control with secure access to your information anytime, anywhere, allowing you to spend more time with family, friends, or simply just enjoying the day. Social Security, securing today and tomorrow. See what you can do online at socialsecurity.gov.
Produced at U.S. taxpayer expense.
GEICO presents eyewitness interviews with inanimate objects.
This is Brian Bruno, live on the scene of a recent windstorm, here to describe the event, a chest of drawers.
There's a storm howling outside, so I thought I'd stay in and watch a rom-com. 5 minutes into the flick, a tree branch slams through the window.
Were you hurt?
I just got a scratch on my chest.
Your chest of drawers can't help you in a windstorm, but the GEICO Insurance Agency can help you get covered for personal property damage. Call GEICO to see how affordable homeowners insurance can be.
Got a hot take?
Everybody listen up.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003.
Answer that phone.
Or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA. Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hey, you know where Gus is? We just looked up. Tulane Women's Basketball is in Philadelphia.
Of all places.
Playing Temple. Now, they don't play till tomorrow, so hopefully the GCAT is sneaking around with night vision cameras at a Philadelphia practice, finding out what's going on with the Eagles. Nothing to find out today because guess what? It's their day off.
If you know Gus Kattengill, like I know Gus Kattengill.
He's not sneaking around an Eagles practice.
He's sneaking around a pub to pub with binoculars, wanting to find out the next pub.
He's looking for a place where everybody knows his name, right? With that question, Ken Berthelot, along with John Forcade, and we're talking with a special guest. John, I'm going to let you introduce your special guest, along with Joey back at the studios and Jordan Kleber on site.
Well, definitely. I want to introduce here. Everybody should know who this guy is. He's a longtime Louisianian guy, played at Southern University, went to the New England Patriots years ago, His name is Maurice Hurst. And Maurice is on the line, and he's going to talk a little football. And we get tired of talking on Facebook and texting each other. And I do owe him a bet. I owe him a milkshake and a cheeseburger and fries. But
yeah, good luck collecting that, Maurice. Yeah. How long has he owed you that? He probably owed you that from back at Southern University, okay?
No, not that far back. But all right, I'll let him get to the
season. Okay, Maurice. I'm doing pretty good. Look, we're going to jump right into it. What was your take? We discussed this, you and I have, all the way in Texas. What was your take of yesterday's games and your take on the New Orleans Saints and the Philadelphia Eagles coming up?
Well, yesterday's game, I thought that we watched the second game, obviously. That was, I think that was a little tough on the Bears in the fact that I thought they played well enough to win, and, you know, but unfortunately, like you and I talked about on the last kick, the guy doesn't make it, and it kind of looks a little bad. But, you know, I'm thinking if you're considering yourself a Super Bowl team, you can't let a team come into your stadium under those circumstances and beat you. I just don't see you as being a Super Bowl caliber team at that point.
Mm-hmm. Well, especially when you got one of the best defenses of all of football, and they thrived and let people know about their defense coming to Chicago, playing on the lake, and we're at a home game. We haven't been in the playoffs in quite a few years. Got a young, good quarterback here. And like I said, I got stats telling me they got the ball 9 times yesterday and only get 15 points out of 9 possessions. You get 15 points. And here's something that I don't know if people know this, but they reviewed it last night after the game. 22 different camera angles, and it shows that a Philadelphia Eagles player's hand tipped that football on that winning, attempting winning kick last night. So basically, it was a block kick that didn't make it hit the upright and then the crossbar for them to not win the football game. But you're right, Maurice. If you want to be a team that's going to show somebody and make that next step, it's you got to win at home. Hey, look, you're not playing the New Orleans Saints or the Rams or a more powerful team from an offensive standpoint. You're playing the Eagles who are riding Nick Foles, and you're at home, and you got a great defense. But I never thought the Bears' offense was all that this year.
Yeah, I mean, I looked at it, but I thought being first in every category, and I think giving up 16 points is really a good defensive day in football. Because if you're going to tell me, hey, Maurice, we're going to have a field goal to win the game at 43 yards through 17 games, I'm going to take it. And my kicker is going to probably make 16 or 17, whatever it is. So I'm going to take that 16 points. I thought the Bears played pretty good. But like you said, you need more offense because you're not going to get through this league without scoring. Like I had brought up to you, I said a win would have been a win. Then they could go back and recoup and figure out what they did wrong or what the matchups, you know, what they were. But I still don't see them beating the Rams if they had gotten out of there alive, the Rams nor the Saints, and then neither the Cowboys. So I think they had a good season. It's going to be tough going back because a lot of people say, oh, well, we're good. We'll be back next year. That's not always true. Sometimes you got to take advantage of this and, you know, do what you need to do because sometimes you don't get back to that position again next year. On the Chargers, I took the Chargers. I didn't think the quarterback for Baltimore to get it done, and that was my take on it. Coach Harbaugh stuck with him, but I thought he should have had a plan to put the other boy in and change the pace of pass versus run, you know, against the Chargers and make them force him to play a little pass, a little run. But he stuck with his guy, and I just didn't think the kid was ready for that type of football.
Well, did you watch the game enough to see that? You saw what the Chargers came in and did this time around and they did the first time they played them a couple of weeks ago. They took their linebackers out of the game and went with 3 DBs as linebackers because they said, you know what? If Lamar Jackson's going to run on us, he's going to get run down by DBs and not linebackers. That was the biggest difference because his 4 front defensive linemen, that's all they didn't blitz anybody a lot. They just said, okay, we're going to sit back and let him run, and we're going to have our guys ready there. They knew the guy could throw the ball. Now, when you said, and I agree with this, at halftime, when he was 3 for 8 for 6 yards, I would have went to Joe Flacco and said, you got the second half. Yeah, let's go. We're not getting it done 3 for 8 for 6 yards. You can't win in the NFL being 3 for 8 for 6 yards. I don't care who's quarterbacking. And I think that's the big difference of what Baltimore did. And then once again, there it goes again. You got a defense who's all about their defense, but don't have an offense. Until people understand, and I know you're a defensive-minded guy, and I'm an offensive-minded guy, you got to win championships by having an offense. Defense keeps you in the game. Offense wins you championships. Because if you can't score a point, I don't care if you give up 10 points, but if you only score 9, guess what? You have no offense. So, like the Saints, when they only gave up. Go ahead.
Keep going.
No, I know you because you brought it up last time, and I think you have to have you brought up the other day, you have to have some defense because you're the Kansas
City. Oh, yeah. I'm not saying
you can't win. You're not going to win every game 54-53. You just can't do that.
Right.
So
nope.
You've got to have you brought it up the other day. You said, man, you got to have some defense. I don't need you to be number one.
That's
right. I need you to be about number 10, 11, 12, 13. I need you in that category, takeaway, that, here, there. Yeah. So go ahead.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Who won the Super Bowl in 2009? That would be the New Orleans
Saints.
The
New Orleans Saints, yeah.
What were their defensive total rank going into that game?
I would think about 8, 7, 8, maybe 9.
Uh-uh. They were ranked 14th to 16th in the league.
Okay.
Guess what?
But
guess
takeaways, they had a very high takeaway.
Yes, but from a standpoint overall. Right now, the New Orleans Saints are in the same category. They're 14th to 16th in their defense. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Who's sitting home right now and had two of the top defenses in all of football? The Bears and the Ravens. All right. Go look where their offense. Go look where their offense was ranked. Look at the Dallas Cowboys. You know, they shut the Saints down, only gave them 10 points. But the Saints defense only gave up 13. My take is the Saints can't score more than 10 points against, I don't care how good Dallas' defense is, the Saints defense gave up 13 and you only scored 10. That's why I'm getting to these NFL teams and you look at, all I'm saying is, and you know, when I was playing and you were playing, they'd come into your room and say, okay guys, offensively, how many points a game do we want to score? We always said 24 points a game. Our defense used to always say, we'll give up 17. Well, if you're scoring 24 and giving up 17, you're not losing a game. But if you're giving up 16 points a game and your offense is scoring 10, 12, 14, you're sure not winning any games.
Right. And it rolls all the way down to defensive calls, defensive plays, everything. Because when you got a team like the Saints or whoever, you take the the Texans the other day. You're down 21 points. Okay, you're down 21 points. You don't have the luxury because you don't have a team that can score 21 points. So you start to fake field goals, go for it on fourth down, try to do it because you're out of your element. You already know as a coach, I have no offense, really no high power, and I can't get back in the football game. So coaches like Sean Payton and Dennis, this guy, they can say, okay, we're down 7-0. So what? We're down 14-0. Okay, so what? They're going to score. But you cannot have a Ravens team go down 14-0. You're done. Or, you know, so that I understand what you're saying in defense itself. You got to score points, but you got to have a good enough defense to get the ball, take it away at the right time, and, you know, keep you in the game. You got to stay in the game.
Of all the eight teams, really quickly, before I let Kenny get in, of all the eight teams that are left right now, there's only one team that really hasn't of all the eight, there's only one team that doesn't have a high powered offense. That would be the Dallas Cowboys. Of all the eight teams, there's only one team that relies on their defense more than their offense, the Dallas Cowboys. Chiefs, we could talk about them. Talk about the Chargers. Talk about the Pats. And you talk about the Colts. You talk about the Saints.
Right.
You talk about the Philadelphia Eagles. You talk about the Rams. And you talk about Dallas. Only one of eight teams has a defense that they depend on, whereas all the other seven can score points and play decent defense. Not great defense, but a decent enough defense that you can get to the Super Bowl with.
Well, I agree with Maurice and from the standpoint that, Maurice, when you were talking about this and one thing that I've learned, you have to have an offense that scores points, but your defense has to do what it needs to do against the opponent that it has. For instance, let's go back to, and I'm going to take you back just to the college level when I was broadcasting Tulane games in 1998.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody talked about the explosive offense with Sean King at quarterback before he eventually went to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and they talked about the Rich Rodriguez offensive system because that was the run and shoot long before it became so widespread in offense. And nobody talked a lot about the Tulane defense. It was a very good defense that year, but it was a defense that sometimes gave up 41 points in a game because the offense was scoring 60 or 70 points in a game. But at times, that defense, when they had to, you had a Southern Miss team that came in, and guess what? That was a great defensive Southern Miss team that held the offense to 21 points, actually to 14 because the defense scored a touchdown. But the defense rose to the occasion, forced some turnovers, and held Southern Miss to 7. So I don't think it's – you can say it's got to be a dominant defense. You have to have an offense and a defense. If an offense can score points, you're good because you do win scoring points. But your defense has to do just whatever it has to do against that opponent. And if it's hey, we got an offense that's scoring 41 and we can give up 31, so be it. But – I kind of agree with Maurice on this.
I understand what both of you guys are going through, but listen to me right here. This is what I'm trying to get to. The fact that, listen, I'm not saying you got to go out and have an offense that's got without any defense. I'm saying this much. If you put all your eggs in a basket saying our defense is going to hold them, our defense is going to hold them, our defense is going to hold them. Well, let me put it to you this way. It only takes one busted coverage, one bad play. When the Saints had the game won last year against Minnesota, all you had to do was tackle the guy with the ball and who is playing the following week for the championship. I don't care what anybody says. It takes one bad play on the defense. You could be giving up 50 yards rushing the whole game, 28 yards passing the whole game. The score could be 10-3 or 10 to, let's just say it's 10-6. And all of a sudden, one fluke play and you lose 13-10 because you play such a great defense. But guess what? It takes one bad play. You have got to have an offense that can keep your defense off the field enough where you can score some points. Look, I would love to have a great defense. If the New Orleans Saints had a top five defense with this offense, they win the Super Bowl. But that's not how it works. You better find you some offense. And the Bears don't have the offense. Neither do the Ravens. Neither does the Houston Texans. And, you know, the Cowboys right now don't have that offensive juggernaut. They got a running game, but that's about all.
But if the Bears would have had a kicker, they would have still won without the offense.
That's it, one game. You think the Bears would advance after they win?
Yeah, but that was my point. The Bears are going to win this game, but then you're going to, like you always say, a win is a win in this league. Because, I mean, you got a couple wins. The Saints won on a field goal last minute. A field goal missed, a drive on the last play. My point was this, because, you know, if you have that, you need that defense that can just make that play when you need it. The Patriots and the Falcons. That year, the Patriots was only giving up 15 points a game in the Super Bowl. Now, when you look at it, they came up big at the right time. They were losing that football game. They came up big. They're not great. They weren't great.
Nope.
But they put the ball away when it counted. And you have to have that. Plus, your special teams have to be solid. The Saints special teams are solid. And we're going to talk about, I know you're going to talk about this game coming up. The Saints special teams never cost them a game this year. Never. Not the punter. He don't shank a ball out of bounds that gives the people field position. He hits those balls inside the 5, inside the 10 when it's needed. The kicker steps up, do what he needs to do. And the Saints went through a lot of kickers to get this guy. But they got a guy that they can step up, hit it. You know, my thing is, if that guy there had missed, Lux had missed that field goal last night, I would look at it and say, hey, yeah, okay, he missed it. But the guy that missed it missed 10 times.
Yes, so all year.
Why is he on your football team? But you put him in a bad position.
We're going to take a break here in a second, but let's talk really quick about the Eagles-Saints game. What's your outtake? We got 2 minutes before the break.
Maurice, don't leave. If you can stay with us for a little bit after this top of the hour break, I've got some questions I want to ask you about your playing days and about some of the coaches you played for. So I know John and a couple of questions.
Just real quick.
Can you stay with us another 5-10 minutes after the break?
Yeah, he got a job.
He's retired. He's on a golf course. I know he's doing. He's playing golf right now. But, Mo, think about it. We're going to take a break in a second. But I want you to come back after the break and analyze the Saints and the Eagles game for us. And then, you know, I want you to pick. And then we'll let Kenny get into your player days because, you know, we'll be turning pages here of your playing days as long as you played.
You got to go way back. Yeah,
you know, you had those plastic helmets or the leather helmets you put in your back pocket.
Oh, man.
Oh, wow.
You know,
wait a minute. Oh, wow. Wait. Good. Whoa.
Stuff in the bottom of them. Man, goodness gracious.
Stuffing cotton in a helmet and everything else. But remember this. Don't take anything John says seriously. He's still suffering from concussion protocol. So.
No, that's my guy. I know him. That's why he's having a long one. We get along on Facebook. We
got. Well, hang on. We're going to take a break here in a few seconds, and then when we come back from our break, I definitely wanted you to get into the Saints game against the Eagles. No more other teams, but the Saints against the Eagles, the points I want to hear from both sides of you, offensively and defensive side of the football.
Don't go away, Maurice. I also want to ask you one question before you take a quick break. During the break, I got one question to ask you. Joey, we'll throw it back to you. Let's go ahead and take a break. We'll be back with Maurice Hurst, former great for the New England Patriots, talking with John Forcade and Ken Berthelot, sitting in for Gus Kattengill, who's in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, with the Tulane Women's basketball team. We will be back with Maurice Hurst in just a moment.